Idiyos, Perek Beis, Mishneh Dalet. Here we have a new type of Eidus. Shloisha Dvorim Omer Reb Yishmoel, Lefnei Chachom Bekeren Biyavne. The Hele Gitana Reb Yishmoel, who's all over the Shas, the Bar Plukta of Reb Kiva, was from the G'doyle Chachomim in the door that came to Yavne right after Chub Ba'asheni, like we described. The G'doyle Ador then, who were already G'doyle Ador B'mei Habayis, were Reb Yeshua and Reb Elazar. Reb Yochanan was the Zoken Ador. Reb Yochanan was Nifter soon after the Churban. And Reb Yeshua and Reb Elazar were the G'dolei Ador, but their Talmud Muvik, who became the Chover, the Talmud Chover that was Chodek on them sometimes, is Reb Kiva. And his Bar Plukta is Reb Yishmoel. So here Reb Yishmoel is saying, Eidiyos, that he was Mekabel, Lefnei Chachomim Pashtus, means in front of Reb Yeshua and Reb Elazar. Bekerem B'Yavne, this was in Yavne. Look at the Rav. The Rav says that the reason why the Beis Medrash was called Kerem B'Yavne is because a Kerem is made, a vineyard is Shurois, and that's the way they sat. Look at the Rambam, there's another Pshat also, is because this was the Mokim, instead of the Mokim HaShuros HaShchina, that was in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokim HaShuros HaShchina is where the Chachmei Yisrael is. So after there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash, the Kerem, which is described in Yeshaya, the Rambam makes reference to it. Kerem hoy ledidi bekerem ben shomen. The place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is called the Kerem. The place where the wine, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created. Yena shel Torah. And Mamel, that's why it was called Kerem B'Yavne. So the three idiots that he said over, one of them, Yeshayach the Meseches Tvul Yoyim. The second is Shaykh to Meseches Peyo. And the third one is Shaykh to Meseches Klayim. So there's really nothing in common about these three except for the fact they were set over Lefnei Chachom Bekerem B'Yavne. Al Beitza Trufa Shehi Nesuna Al Gabi Yorek. A Beitza Trufa is an egg which is scrambled. Literally, the way the Mepharshim explained, the Chelboin, the white and the yellow of the egg are mixed up together. The Chelboin and the Chelmoin are mixed together. It's a scrambled egg. Shehi nesuno al gabi yorek shel truma. The halacha over here in question is we made mention in Mishnah Aleph over here of din of a tvul yoyim. A tvul yoyim is a sheni l'tumah. He's not a tumah proper. There's excessive cause of that. He retains after tvilosei b'mikvah. He retains his status of a miktas tumah. He's a sheni. A sheni l'tumah can only then pasel truma or kotchim. That being said, midei raisa. If a tvul yoyim had touched the beitza that was sitting on the yerek, picture the yerek being like a plate over here. If it touches the beitza, the beitza is not truma or kotchim. The beitza is a beitza. The kohen is eating a scrambled egg on that's plated on a vegetable, on a picture a big green leaf. So when the tvul yoyim touches the beitza, l'chayra it should not the beitza. Touch the tulyam should not transmit tuma to the truma. There's a dinder abonon that two things that are being used together, in this case the beitza with the yerek, are considered a chibur midir abonon to be considered as if the tulyam is actually touching the beitza shel yerek. So that's what the Mishnah says, that shehi chibur, it's considered a chibur to passel up the yerek which is of truma. If the beitza is sticking over the sides, it's not really sitting flush on the yerek. It's leaning over the sides of the yerek. It's touching it, but it's not really fitted to the yerek. So then we don't look at it as one thing, and we see it as a beitza which touched the tvul yoyim, and the beitza touches the yerek. Now, since the tvul yoyim is not touching the yerek, so mel doesn't passel it. That's one halacha. V'al shibolus shebekotir, shibolus is one stalk, a single stalk that's in a field where the field was cut. The roisha magas lekoma, the head of that stalk, reaches tvua that hasn't been cut yet. There's a halacha of lechet shikcha, which means stalks of wheat that are left over in a field. That remembers Megillas Rus, where she's going in the field collecting stalks of wheat that were left. That's in Pashas Kedoshim, it's called Leket Shikha. The three Matanim that come from the field are Leket Shikha and Peah. We're talking about leket, where it's a piece. So all these halachas are under the heading of matnas anim, of a field that's left after. They're all mesachas peyah. So you have a piece, a stalk, and be'etzim it's a boided, and it was left over and it wasn't cut. That would render it leket, and then anim would be allowed to go around after, and they would take it. It's hefker. Forget. The owner's not allowed to come back and take it. It's already there for matnas anim. However, the stalk touches, reaches out, and touches the part of the field that hasn't been cut yet. The workers stop by the edge over there, and 2 feet over, there's the rest of the field. The rest of the field, the fact that it hasn't been cut, it's not matnas anim, it wasn't left behind. The workers took a lunch break. They stopped over there. So what about this single boided, which is touching? Roisha magas lekomo. Im niktsura im akomo. If it could be cut with one swoop of the cutting, what they call the sickle that cuts the wheat, with one swing of the sickle, the part that hasn't been cut yet would also cut off this single isolated stalk. So we see it as part of that. Harei shel balabais means it's not hefker, it's not matzanim, it still belongs to the owner of the field. Vimlav, if you see it in terms of cutting down as a separate swoop, so that means that it's not part of the rest of the field. It's part of the field that was cut already, even though it's touching. But lamaisa, we can't see it as part of that part of the field. It's its own thing, and it has a din of shikha and harei shel anim. That's the second din. The third din, klaimdik, valgino ktana shumukefes oris, a small garden that's surrounded by an oris. An oris is melosh narisa, like a cradle, which means it's like the tzura of the gefen stretches up a bunch of rows, sort of like lying in a bed. What's the context over here? The context is that the din of klai hakerem, which is not planting two things together. Two things are not planted together. However, they're close enough together where there's a problem of them growing in the same field. This is not by every two gidulim. This is specifically by a kerem with chitim. Where chitim grow in a kerem, or there's enough grapes growing in a field of tvua where it could be considered a kerem. Kerem is not a gefen yechidus. A kerem is already a group of kfanim together. It's a vineyard. So the halachas are separate. Means say that what's mavu over there, Mishnah's klayim, is that from one single gefen growing, which is not a kerem, it's just a gefen, it's enough to be marchik 6 tvachim. That's not considered a kerem derai. So it's enough to be marchik from there 6 tvachim, that the tvu is not considered as being grown together with the gefen yichidis. A kerem is already the ganze mokim has a shem kerem. And then what separates one mokim from another is only arba amos that you find b'chalat ha'kulo. And therefore, in order that the tvua shouldn't be growing in a kerem, it has to be nisrachik from the edge of the kerem, dalet amos. A kerem, by definition, mishnayis over there, is 5 kfanim. That's called already a vineyard, it's not a single. The 5 also has a tzura, it's 2 keneged 2, with 1 trailing behind, and that's the way it's set up. That has the tzura of a kerem. If they're not growing kitzuroson, just one here, one there, each one is a yochid, and each one only has the shear, klape tvua going near it of shisha tvachim. The oris is some type of middle ground where they are sort of together, but they're not mamish in that tsura of a kerem. If the gefanim are near the trellis that they're sitting on, this oris, so then it's considered one gefen. If the gefanim are growing further away, to a distance of dalet amos, they're not considered together with the oris, and then we see each gefen as by itself. Meaning, say these gefanim over here are not kitzur of shtaim keneged shtaim ve'echad yoytze kizonov, which is the shear of a kerem in the mishnayos over there. These are gefanim yechidim, but they're all attached to the same oris. So if they're nisrachik at a distance of dalet amos from the oris, then we look at the kfanim as isolated kfanim yichidim, and then the shear is dalet 6 tvachim. If we see them as close enough, so then we see them all as one unit, then it's a gefen. I'm sorry, it's a kerem, not just kfanim yichidim. If it's a kerem, the shear is dalar amis. So that's the halacha that was nizgal over here. Aval gino ktanashim ukefes oris is not exactly where they're on one surface like an oris, because then the halacha is all the way we just described it. This is a gino ktano. It's a small garden that's surrounded by oris. It's surrounded by gefanim that are nutois. The lamaisa are set up on a trellis, are on a gedder, on a fence. So they're surrounded by an oris. The question is whether we see then the whole gina as being part of this oris, which then has din of a kerem. So if there's enough space between one side, it's surrounded, like we said, by the trellis on the north side to the south side, the east side to the west side. Each one, there's a harchok of two amos from the other side. The shir that's mentioned over here, yesh kim loy boitze v'salei mekan. There's enough room for somebody to harvest and go with his sal, with his basket, and harvest the fruit. So this is an agricultural shir, but lemaisa in the Mishnayis over there is considered two amos. If there's two amos of workspace for the north side of the aris, two amos for the south side, two for the east side, two for the west side, we see them as separated from each other. We don't see it as one hekif, and it doesn't have a dinner of a kerem. And then you can plant in the middle, which is the empty space of the gino, at a distance of shisha tvachim, because we don't look at it as one mitzius. Vim lav, it's more crowded than that. We see it all as one dense not kfanim, we see it as one dense kerem. And then loy sizareh, you can't plant in the middle because the whole thing is considered one mokum kerem, and the whole thing is awesome. These are the three eduyos of Rabbi Shmuel in front of the Chachamim b'Yadna. Now Mishnah Hay says a little bit of a different knech. Shloisha dvarim amru lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. Before was Rabbi Shmuel saying in front of the Chacham. Now, these are three things that were said in front of Rabbi Shmuel. The Eidus was said over about three halachas that were said in front of Rabbi Shmuel by his Talmidim. V'le omar bohem lo isa v'le heter. U'pershin Rabbi Yeshua ben Masi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Masi is not one of the Tanon that we have most in Mishnayis, but over here we have a Kabbalah from him of three things that he said, that these were the three things that were asked by Talmidim to Rabbi Shmuel, which Rabbi Shmuel didn't answer. Lele Tzad Isav, Lele Tzad Het. What are the three? HaMefis Musa B'Shabbos. Mefis Musa is if somebody pops a boil. He pops a hole in the side of the boil. A blister, a large blister, a hard blister a person has on his hand, let's say. Imlasis Lopeh, if the purpose of opening up the hole on the side of the blister was in order to make an ear hole, that there should be access, that would start the healing process, because then there would be fresh air coming in and out of the blister, and that would memela drain the abscess. So if the purpose was to make a Pesach Kavua Chayev, what is he Chayev Alts? Which Malacha on Shabbos? It's a Malacha of Boina. Boina, the same way you had this Boina on digging or on building, there's also Boina also on fixing in the body of a person. That could also be Boina. Putting in Lamashal of filling could also be Baina. So here the Baina would be opening up a Pesach, opening up a window on the side of a building if a room is stuffy and punching out a hole so where people could breathe would be a Malacha Baina. But here also it's Baina. However, the Mishnah says if the purpose of what he was doing was in order to make a Pek Kavua, an opening Kavua, then it's Chayev. Vim Lahitzim and Alech, he had no interest really in opening up a Pesach, just that he had to drain out the pus that's inside that's causing infection. So really, he's not interested in the hole, he's interested in the pus draining out. So then, Potter. This is what we call the Alochim Loch Shein Etzvicha Legufa. In Shabbos, it's not enough that a person was mechavin to do what he did. Dov Shein Etzvicha is a Ptur B'chol HaTer Kula. But a Dov HaMeskavin that's Chayiv also has to be a Maloch Etzvicha Legufa. That means when a person does a malacha, but not for the purpose in which it's Shabbos dik, a malacha, digging a hole because he needs dirt, not because he's digging the hole, it's not charisha. He's doing a maisa charisha, but he's doing a malacha. Shein etzvich leguf, he doesn't need it for the guf malacha. Putting out a candle, not in order to make charcoal to have something to be able to use for fire. Putting out a candle because you want to go to sleep is a malacha. Shein etzvich leguf. It's actually a machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. And over here we have that a dar before that, two daris before that, in front of Rabbi Shmuel, the shiloh was not hukra. Whether Aber lach schon jetzt sicher gut für so eine Mutter. Weil er zod noch aus bei Shabbos, somebody traps a snake on Shabbos, ist aber lach auf zod. Im ist das, ich schon leu ich chenu potter. If he's just trying to trap the snake in order that should bite somebody, it's a rattlesnake, he's potter again. Malach shein etzuch legufa, the purpose of trapping the snake is not the tzdiya for the snake itself. It's only in order that it should be out of the way. It shouldn't bite somebody. V'im l'refuah, if the reason why he's trapping the snake is because he wants to extract from it venom, which is known to be a refuah, so then he's trapping it for itself. It's like trapping an animal for its skin. That's a malach of tzod. So again, these both are halachas where Rabbi Shmuel was not makriya, if malach shein etzuch legufa is chayv or potter. Val lefosin ironios. Lefosin ironios means klicheres of villagers. He made in the kiln the thing that heats up and that makes klicheres. He made like two frying pans. The two frying pans are stuck rim to each other. But if we're right now, you can't use them. They have to be separated. You have to cut. You have to take something and cut them down the middle. And then each one is a useful kli. Sheheim tohoiros ba'oil hameis. If they were put into, while they're still attached, they were put into the oil hameis. They're not tame. Why? Because we had earlier in Perek Aleph that oil hameis is metame klicheres only mi bifnim. Only if there's right now usage for the kli kibul of the klicheres. Klicheres doesn't have a shame kli mitzad the etzim material shaboy, only mitzad the kli shaboy. So in that case, where they're still attached, tairis mi oil meis. So tmeis b'masa azov. They are mekabel, the klicheres are mekabel if a zov carries them. Doesn't make a difference if they're pasuch or sosim. Why is that? So Bishuva Masi is understanding that the reason why these two frying pans are stuck head to head, rim to rim, are not mitame is not because they don't have a shame kli. It's because when they're enclosed, they're stuck to each other. They protect each other like a tzomet psil, like we had in Perek Aleph. There's a protection here that doesn't allow tuma to penetrate to the klei kibul b'bifnim. Mashenkin, when you're talking about being nistame al yidei masa hazov, so there the kli is a kli. You don't need to touch the toichoi. Ablozim etzodik oimer af masa hazov toiris nesh leinigram alakdom. While the frying pans are stuck to each other, even though it's very easy to separate them and turn each one into a functioning kli, they're vile, they don't have a shame kli, they're not mekabel tumah until they're cut apart.